Three, two, one, let's go. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Bobby Jankovic. I am the broker at RE/MAX Capital, and you have found yourself at Mission Forge. Mission Forge is where we engage each other, empower one another, and in doing so, we elevate the world around us, especially the world as it relates to real estate. And I'm going to start today by asking you to please like and subscribe to this podcast. Share it with somebody who you think may find value in it. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you coming back and hearing what it is I have to say. I think today you may find this relevant, especially if you've ever found yourself wanting to negotiate a commercial lease. This is part of my insider tips series. It's the fourth part of my insider tip series. First, we had insider tips to be a tenant. Then we had insider tips to be a landlord. And then we had insider tips to be a property manager. So this is insider tips to negotiate a commercial lease. So I've got five, actually I'll probably toss in a six. I always like to throw in an extra, but I've got five main tips for you, things to realize when you may be trying to negotiate a commercial lease. And this is for the general public. It's also for, aspiring commercial agents, okay? It's important to understand, tip number one, who your landlord is. Most often, the most common scenario is it's probably somebody who this is not their main thing. It's there may even be out of the area. It may be an LLC with different owners represented by an agent. And so you just kind of have to understand that if you're not dealing with generally a regular person who's there on site, somebody that's available to do things and so forth. So keep that in mind. You're kind of dealing with more of an entity or somebody who is a person, but this is not like their whole life. They've got other jobs and endeavors and things that they're working on. And the reason that's important to understand is just because they are going to look at this more methodically, very unemotionally, and so it's really just a result of how will this lease benefit me on paper and in the long run, right? So the first tip is to understand that the value of that building or that strip mall or that office complex is directly tied to the leases and the value of the leases. So not getting into complicated numbers or even simple numbers, basically the higher the rents, the more they can charge for the property in the event of a sale. Now, a lot of times you're renting a property that is for sale or could be for sale. So any investor or business owner, a commercial real estate owner has always got to be thinking this could go up for sale sometime soon. So I want to protect that. And even if they don't have any plans to sell, they want to maximize their cash flow. So just keep that in mind, because I've had the question before. I said, well, go ahead and ask them, you know, they'll come, a prospective tenant will come in and just say, well, I don't want to pay that. That's way too much. Whoa, that's way too much. Blah, 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 blah. What are they thinking? I can do half, you know, I'll do half that. And that's, you just have to understand, that's pretty much a non-starter, because that would be in effect asking them to potentially devalue their asset by 50%. So when people say they make the mistake of thinking, well, if I do half, even for a year, that's still going to be $7,000 in his pocket. You know, what's he got to lose? You know, well, he's got a lot to lose, you know, because a word gets out, you know, and other people start trying to ask the same thing. But more importantly than that, he'd rather you keep your $7,000 and then him keep the $150,000 that won't be devalued when that low rent plugs in. You see what I'm saying? So keep that in mind. Now, with that said, that doesn't mean owners won't negotiate. So how would you negotiate with an owner? Well, Tip number two is the length of the lease is really important. So not only is the amount of the lease important, but the length. So the more time you're willing to commit to that owner, the more ability to negotiate you will find in that. Because the other thing that that owner likes and wants to be able to project if he or she intends to sell is this sort of visibility. In an extreme case, take like a fast food restaurant or a grocery store. They sometimes sign 10-year leases, 20-year leases. I've heard of a 25-year lease, and I'm sure there's even more than that. So that's a wonderful piece of visibility that means that the potential investor can see into the future and see the values coming in, the rent roll coming in, and the protection of that value. Another thing that leads to is annual increases in rent. So I'm going to pause for a second and let you know what a good antidote is. If you're trying to say, well, all's Jankovic is doing is telling me how to make the landlord more money, which is money out of my pocket, and I can't stand it. I want a good deal. How do I get a good deal? Well, so if you are asking, say, for a one-year lease and you're willing to pay full asking rent or something near full asking rent, how about asking that landlord for upfront one half month rent, you know, the first month half off or something like that, or even try the first month free, who knows? And then the remaining 11 months would be the rent that that person is asking for. So you're giving the owner that, that calculation that, hey, this is the value of these spaces. This space commands that amount. Therefore I can tell the bank. That's another thing. Sometimes they just need it on paper so that they can tell the bank that this is the worth of this property based on the lease so that they can do what? They can borrow money. So that's another reason that that owner might be using this rental space, this commercial rental space, as an instrument to leverage money from the bank so that they can go do other things. So that's why, that's another reason why those rents are so important. So you give them what they want, but you take back too. In the beginning, you say, well, I'll take half rent on the first month, or maybe you give me the first month for $1,000 instead of $4,000. And then those subsequent months, I will pick up and pay that full rent. So tip number three is that they do really like to have those annual increases in the rent. So if you're doing a two-year lease or a three-year lease, five-year lease, expect to see and be wise and go in with this. They like 3% annual increases. If you really want to make their day and you go in with a 5 or a 4% annual increase, see, you can do that when you're expecting your business to grow. I don't know where you are in your particular business, but most people are planning a growth pattern, and you can say, I need this lower in the beginning and I'll grow into it in year 2, 3, and 4. And so that's another, that's if you put these two together, if you take a long lease and you take annual increases, you may be able to kind of marry these ideas together and say, look, I'm going to make up numbers. He's asking for $10 a square foot, you know, and you're like, hey, look, year one, I'll pay, you know, $8.50 a square foot. Year two, take me to $9.50. Year three, take me to $10.50. Year four, and so on. So he or she is getting what they want, and you're getting what you need, which is less rent in the beginning, perhaps because of some investment that you need to make in your business. Okay, tip number four, build out and repairs. For all the reasons that I have just said, you can imagine that this owner landlord is not probably sitting around with a toolbox and a paintbrush looking to come down on the weekends and do your build out for you or do repairs. Now, that's not always the case. Sometimes they are, and sometimes they do have crews that will do things for you. But generally, the last thing that the owner wants is for you to request a list of repairs. Pretty much what you see is what you get. And you may not know what the condition of the HVAC is. Of course, you can negotiate that in, like a sneak and peek period, seek and peek, where you get things turned on and make sure some stuff is working. Nothing wrong with that, okay? But as far as having things painted, building a wall here, changing, dividing that, taking this down, they don't want to do that. So again, if the property simply doesn't fit your needs and you need it to be different, that's probably going to be 100% on you, or mostly on you. Now, if the property is trashed and needs work, and the work that you're going to do is going to bring value and improve the property for the owner, now you circle back and you say, after you've quantified the work that's going to be done, and I'm going to use really easy math. If you're like, hey, this is going to take $4,000, you know, this work, here's my contractor's estimates, $4,000. So yeah, I'll pay you the $10 a square foot. However, you know, I need this much rent free in the beginning to pay me back for that, because really that money is going into your pocket since I'm improving your property. So again, another way to negotiate with a commercial property owner. Last, or the fifth, I should say, is repairs during the lease. So clogged toilet, a thermostat is busted, HVAC is not running right. You know, small things you should expect to handle yourself. The terms should be clear in the lease. A really common example would be the tenant is responsible for maintaining the HVAC equipment with an annual plan from a reputable service vendor. Any repairs under the amount of $500 in an annual term will be the responsibility of the tenant. Major repairs, $500 and over, the owner will pay after the $500 deductible. So you can see, again, they don't want to be, they just, their time is important to them and they want to spend it on other things. So unless there's a major problem, they don't want to get involved. So either lead in with that or expect to be greeted with that type of language. The last thing I'm going to broach on, last tip, pro tip or insider tip, doesn't everybody like insider tips, right? Is if you feel that your business can act as a bit of an anchor. And by that, I mean, you know, you're probably not a true anchor tenant, meaning like a grocery store, you know, but let's say that you have a karate studio, or let's say that you have a thriving daycare business, something where people are coming every day. So you're creating traffic for that owner. Why is that important? Well, the owners do like to promote synergy and cooperation amongst the business owners. So good owners won't put a Pizza Hut next, I'm sorry, a Domino's next to a Papa John's. You know, they feel like it's too much competition, or they won't put Sally's hair salon next to Julie's hair studio, because it just creates, first of all, how can two succeed in one spot? And if he's making it harder for them to succeed, that's going to create problems for him, so, or her. So my point is, if you can say, listen, I'm going to have a bit of traffic coming in here, I will do my best to promote and cross promote people to these other businesses, you know, and then to him, that breeds more success and his tenants are happier. They're more likely to pay. And that just does well for everybody. So it is a bit of a community. You're all kind of are working together. I hope that you found those insider tips on how to negotiate a commercial lease very valuable. I know that I have more to learn, but I am happy to share what I have learned in my negotiation of commercial leases. And I just want more people to understand. So please do like and subscribe and share my podcast. See you next. Talk to you next time, everybody. Peace out.